us to get unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And we have the Spirit that is the earnest of our inheritance, the earnest. And ladies and gentlemen, we have an inheritance. What is this inheritance that we're going to receive? If you sow to the flesh, ye shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you can tell yourself that that's just not going to happen. I can sow to the flesh, and I'm not going to reap it one of these days. You can tell yourself that all you want to. Guess what? You're going to reap what you sow. Yeah. And there's many older folks in here that can testify to the fact that you reap exactly what you sow. And the devil wants to blind you to that fact. He wants you to live for the moment and think you're not going to have to pay for what you deal with today. You take people like Brother Morey, and I love Del Morey to death. There's things that he's paying for today, even as a saved person, because of the things that he did so many years ago. Things that he did 20 years ago, he's paying for it today.
Sure.
And there's people out there that they've gotten saved. They may be Christian folk. And they've completely had their life turned around. They can't get a job because they're felons. And that's the way it works. Why? Because you reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh today, you will of the flesh reap corruption. And you want to sow to the things of the world. You want to sow to the flesh. You want to do that sort of thing. You may think that you're getting by with it, but you're not. King Ahab and Jezebel, Eric talked about this morning, they thought that they were just going to be able to get old Naboth's vineyard and they were going to take it over. They thought that they would surely get by with it, that they would be able to take old Naboth and have him put to death and all this stuff and take his property and run him off of it and whatnot. And the prophet came to him and said, there will come a day when the dogs will lick your blood and eat your carcass. Went on for years and years. Nothing happened. I'm sure they probably sit up there all, Elijah, he's just some idiot. He didn't know what he was talking about. We've gotten by with it. Look how we've gotten by all these years. But there was a day that came when they had to pay for what they had.
Buddy.
And God will recompense to every man according to his deeds. The way you act, the way you do, the way you treat the Word of God, the way you treat the preaching of the Word of God, the way you treat the knowledge of the Word of God, you will be recompensed for what you do. You'll be recompensed for your sin. And as sure as I'm standing up here preaching to you, you think that you can get by with sin. But the Bible said God will recompense to every man according to their deeds. What's he going to do? He's going to repay you for what you did. He's going to repay you. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith God. He will repay. You think people have done you wrong and so on, they've sinned against God. God will repay. God will repay. A lot of times we want to take vengeance into our own hands, but God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We think that we ought to take vengeance into our own hands, but it's God that does it. It's God that does it. Christians shouldn't sit around trying to defend themselves either. And trying to take vengeance. That's God's doings, ladies and gentlemen. That's what God will do. But you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, how many times have you ever seen anybody that sowed to the things of God that reaped absolute Hades from it? Absolute hell from it. Sowing to the things of God. How many times have you ever met somebody that sowed to the things of God and it's been a curse to them? You won't find that person. You will not find one person that is cursed, that has a curse on them, that has anything like that where they're being judged because of living spiritual. You'll find people that are sitting in prison today because of their sin. You find people that choose to go against God, and you find them with AIDS and diseases and in divorce and things like that. Why? Because they went against the things of God. But if you sow to the Spirit, ye shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And what is the inheritance? It is incorruptible. It's incorruptible. If where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Or where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If you lay up treasures in this world, if you're laying up for yourself in this world, that is where your heart is. And the things of this earth shall pass away. The money of this world shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, the Bible says. If you're expecting to find satisfaction in the things of this world, there'll come a day when you go to the grave, and all the things that you work for are going to be a big waste of time if you laid up your treasures on this earth. It'll all just be a big waste of time. If you sow to the things of God, there is an inheritance that is incorruptible. It is undefiled. And it's one that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what the Bible says. There is an inheritance that will not fade away. There is an inheritance that you will not lose. We've been dealing with a lady, and they have a lot of money. My mom and dad, we've all done work for them. They've really been good to us. And that lady, she has all the money that she could probably ever want. That money can't stop what's going on in her life right now. Don't matter how much money she has. Don't matter how much her husband's worth. Can't take away the disease she has. Like that's what the devil wants you to get your eyes on. He wants you to say, well, if I could just have enough money, I'd be set. But money won't fix everything for you.
Right.
Money won't fix everything. The chances are, sadly, if she don't get born again, she's going to die and go to hell. No matter how much money her husband ever made, don't matter how many cars they ever drove, don't matter how many dinner parties that they had with their doctor friends, all that's going to be a big waste of time. Their mountain house is going to be a waste of time. A lot of folks, they think that these things of the earth are going to satisfy. They shall not satisfy. And I'm not saying that to be mean. That lady's been a blessing to me. She's been a blessing to my family. It's a sad thing.
Sure.
It's a horrible, sad thing.
Yeah.
That money, it fades away.
That's right.
Can't do everything for you. And but God has an inheritance that does not fade away. God has an inheritance that doesn't fade away. If you go to the grave, you get sick and you die, that inheritance is still there. If you lose every penny that you've got, that inheritance is still there. It fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That is the inheritance that we've received. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll start reading verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? But if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Yea, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. The only hope we have in this life is right now, that we're most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man come death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, then shall have deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's going to destroy death. And then it goes on to talk about this. The Bible says, let's move on. The Bible says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, at the trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we have to look forward to. We have the Spirit now, but there's going to come a day. He gave us that. He sealed us with the Spirit. He, ladies and gentlemen, has an inheritance waiting on us in one of these days. When the trumpet of God sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And at that time, ladies and gentlemen, we will be with him for all of eternity. We will inherit all the blessed things that we've heard about all these years. All the preachers have preached about heaven and the new Jerusalem, and how there'll be no more sickness and there'll be no more pain. There'll never be any more sorrow. Never be any more heartache. There'll never be any of that. The Bible said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to. And this seal is only given to those that believe. Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Mm. Let me start in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. For these things, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. For these things, and such like things. The Bible says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in, the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. They have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to be born again to have this seal. You have to be born again to have this seal. To receive this inheritance from God Almighty. To be a child of God. If you're a child of God, then you're an heir of God. And if you're an heir of God, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ will receive, we'll receive with Him. But if you've never been born again, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never, ever receive this inheritance. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Bible says in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore comfort one another with these words. But if you're going to receive an inheritance, you have to be saved. Who receives the seal? Those that have believed. Those that have believed. You've been sealed. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just trying to move through this real quickly.
Good, buddy.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13.
Glory.
In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed.
About that.
After you believed. After you believed. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. You know something? I believe that the Lord had me cut it short right where I was at and have me say the things that were said, that our pastor said, the things that he said. I believe that was 100% of the Lord. 100%. I believe there's people that were in here that needed to hear every word of it. And there's people inside of this place. You must be born again. You must. If you want to receive, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. Marvel not that I say to thee, you must be born again. And you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. That man in the Bible said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I heard a preacher on the way to church this morning. He said something and it kind of made me want to roll my car window down and vomit. He said, every time there's faith, it always accompanies doubt.
Oh, my God.
He said.
Oh, boy.
I said, that's kind of like being a virgin and having AIDS. Kind of like being a virgin and having AIDS. Oh, I'm going to live clean, but I have AIDS.
They don't coexist.
They don't live together, friend. They don't come together. That's not the way that it is. Faith is the opposite of doubt. It's the very opposite of doubt. It's like saying, well, it's really hot outside, but it's really kind of cold, too. Hey, how many of y'all went outside earlier when we were going over there and said, man, it's really cold out here? I know some of y'all women, y'all get a little crazy every now and then. And y'all like your extremes. Either you like it really hot or you like it really cold. And you don't like it. If it's wintertime and it's 30 degrees outside, they would put it on full blast heat with the vents right there in your face when you're driving down the road. So your eyes feel like they're about to burn out of your head. And if it's hot outside, they turn the AC all the way up.
Y'all have some issues.
That's how every woman I've ever met is like, I don't know how some of you are, but all the women in my family are like that. If it's hot outside, they want it 65 degrees in the house. If it's 65 degrees outside, they complain about it being too cold. I'm just like, well, when it's hot outside, you want it 65 in the house. But when it's 65 outside, it's too cold. You have to have it on full blast heat. And don't make much sense.
Get her, Sad. Get her.
I'm not even talking about her.
Oh.
I'm talking about the messenger of Satan sent to Buffett. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I love you. What was I even talking about? That's like saying it's hot outside, but it's also cold.
At this point, it doesn't matter what he was talking about.
No. It's all over for me anyways.
Mommy.
That's what he said. Every time there's faith, it always accompanies doubt. And I said to myself, that's because about everybody in your church isn't saved and believe you. God is a God that can give faith. He'll give saving faith. He'll give saving faith. And it's sad that people have to sit in the church and be told that their God is so weak that he can't give them assurance. That's pretty pathetic.
Pretty pathetic.
Pretty sad. And he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You think he was a saved man?
No.
No. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, and thou shalt be saved. It means there won't be any doubt in there.
That's right.
With all of your heart.
It's good.
Well, I'm going to believe with all of it, but I'm going to have a little percentage of doubt. No. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You have all these people that say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. But you see the way they live.
Yeah. Right.
They don't believe in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're not going to go around and you're not going to live ungodly. You're not going to live in sin. Why? Because Christ died for sin. You're not going to have a good relationship with sin because you know your father hates sin.
Right.
You're not going to do that. These people say, I believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Jesus of this Bible. There's so many Jesuses out there that it's crazy. You have the easy believer Jesus. You have the jam with the lamb Jesus. You have the hippie Jesus. You can come up with whatever Jesus you want to. You have the biker Jesus, where people get on their bikes on Sunday and ride up and down the road for the glory of God instead of going to the house of God, listening to the Word of God being preached. You have these people that are cowboy, they have a cowboy Jesus where they go down to the cowboy church. Instead of preaching the Word of God, they get on some horse and ride around. Instead of preaching the Bible, they get on some horse and run around. They call it godly because Jesus is going to ride a horse. One of these days, they think that it's of God because Jesus is going to ride a horse. And that means Jesus is a cowboy. You can come up with whatever Jesus you want to come up with, but the only one that's going to make a difference is the one in the Bible. About every little religious sect has their own little Jesus. About almost every person you meet has their own form of Jesus. have their own form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They have their own little form of Jesus.
That's right.
That Jesus that fits their mold. The Jesus that's comfortable to them.
Yeah.
The Jesus that fits their life. The Jesus that fits their ideas. The Jesus that fits. And they have a little Jesus that they've created that's nothing but a false god. That's nothing but a devil. The Bible talks about those people in the Old Testament, whenever they worship God their own way. What were they worshiping? Were they worshiping God? No, they worshiped God their own way. They were worshiping devils, the Bible said. It was outside what God told them to do. They weren't worshiping God. They weren't worshiping some false thing. They were worshiping devils, friend.
Right.
Why do you think it's so real to some of these people?
Sure, that's right.
They're worshiping devils. They're full of devils.
The real spirit.
You want to know where the devil is? The devil's mainly in the churches. You want to find the most devil-possessed people in the world? They're sitting in Baptist churches. And the Bible talked about lest you receive some other spirit. Lest you receive some other spirit. There's other spirits in the church, friend.
Right.
I'll be honest with you, there's a list of preachers that you can look at and say, hey, they got a different spirit. They're heading a different direction.
Right.
This contemporary crowd is a different spirit.
Yeah.
This easy believer crowd is a different spirit. All these people that shout and never preach the word of God, all they are is a different spirit.
Right.
They shout, their families are going to hell, but at least they got to shout. They claim that it's God. They shouted, that's all that happened. And they neglect preaching.
Right.
It's a different spirit. It's a different spirit. And I'm not against shouting. But I'm just saying that these people, that all they ever do is go around preaching about how bad we have it. I'm just being honest with you. I look at my life, and I have had some hard times in my life. I've had to deal with some pretty crazy stuff. But all in all, I'd say I've had it pretty good.
Right.
These people that all they preach about is how we need to be encouraged all the time. How we're so always so down and out and everything else. I'm telling them, they act like God's never done anything for them. They act like God can bless them all their entire life, but if one little thing don't go their way, they act like they're about to quit on God because one little thing happened in their life.
Yeah.
The reason why is because they're, number one, they're weak, and half the reason why is because they didn't want to serve God in the first place.
That's right.
All they needed was a little bit of an excuse to get out of the house of God.
That's right. Yep.
They just need a little excuse.
Exactly right.
And they found one. Guess what? Everybody's had hard times. Everybody. It don't matter if you're doing it for the cause of Christ. There's people that have tried to start businesses that have had hard times. It's a part of being a human being. Bible says that man's a few days and full of trouble. And everybody acts like because they had something bad happen in their life that they ought to quit on God. It's amazing. The first thing that everybody does when there's some kind of conflict is they go after Jesus Christ. Instead of doing the right things, instead of going after the things that they should, what they'll do is some little thing happens in their life. What do? They skip church.
That's right.
It's God's fault.
It's good. Boy.
It's God's fault.
That's right.
Tell you what, if something bad happens in your life, if there's something wrong in your family, I'll tell you where the first place you ought to head and run to ought to be the house of God.
Yeah.
Tell you what I'll do, I'll just sit at home and watch Fox News. They'll help my family. I'll go watch some movie at the house instead of going to church.
Right.
Throw me a little temper tantrum because somebody said something I didn't like. Take it out on God.
Right.
He that knoweth to do good doeth it not to him, it is sin. You know that you ought to be at the house of God, and you can be at the house of God, and you don't do it, then you've committed sin against God. That's the way it is. That's what the Bible teaches. Why did I say all that? Probably because it needed to be said. But where am I here? Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 5.
Yep.
No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or Christ and of God. They have no inheritance. Have none.
That's good.
I think I read Ephesians 1:13.
Yep.
When they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to me, give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What about that? I heard a man, he's kind of teaching a little lesson at his church, and he dealt with that. Whenever we look at each other, we're able to give thanks? Is it something that brings joy to our hearts? Whenever I think of Holly and Steve's family, is it a thought of joy or is it a thought of sorrow? Is it something that I can rejoice and be thankful about? When y'all think about my family, is it something that you can rejoice and be thankful about?
Amen.
When I look at our pastor and his ways, is it something that makes me joyful or is it something that brings me sorrow? We ought to live our lives in a way that brings joy to each other. We ought to do that.
Sure.
Instead of sorrow, you shouldn't sit around and make our moms and dads worry whether or not we're going to be a bunch of rebels. We shouldn't sit around and be grievous to our parents. Shouldn't sit around and run our mouths to our parents and treat them like they're fools. By the way, most people that I've ever met in my life that are the most wise people I've ever met usually think that they know a whole lot less than what people that make foolish decisions, they think. They think that they know everything. Foolish people think they know everything. Whenever I grew up, and I'm not very grown up now, but when I grew up, I realized, hey, I'm a lot dumber than what I thought I was. A lot dumber. And Mom and Dad, they used to say things, and I wonder why we had to do it this way. And I thought that I knew best. I thought that what they said was just dumb. Don't even make sense. And then you grow up and you're like, whoa, okay. Maybe I was dumb. Maybe I was just ignorant. But I tell you this, most people that are wise, a lot of times, most people that know more act like they don't know more. Because the more you know, they realize the more you know, the more you realize that you really don't know. A lot of times. You take a bunch of Baptist preachers and throw them in a crowd together. You take the average church person, throw them in a crowd together, and take a bunch of doctors in the Bible and throw them at them. You'll find out how much people really don't know. And I tell you this, they'll act like they know a lot.
You better believe it.
They act like they know a lot. I tell you one of the hardest things. For me, I've been trying to look at it and study it, and it's hard. Grandma asked a question a while back on the difference in believing in and believing on. I'm sure I could come up with some pretty little answer, but I want to find one from the Bible. I'm sure it's simple, but I think too hard sometimes. And it's just a hard one for me. It's a good question.
It's a real good question.
And I think that there's an answer to it. I may not know it in this life, but I think it's a real good question. I think there's a real good answer to it. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe some of y'all are good in English. Y'all can tell me, but I don't know as of today what the difference is. But a lot of times we think that we really know a lot. And we find out how much we really don't know. Find these teenagers that think they know a lot, it's because they really don't know that much. You find these boys and girls that act like they know everything about life, but they don't really know as much as what they think. Really don't know as much. And I'll be honest with you, whenever I was about 18, I kind of thought that it'd be a fun thing to get out of the house, get away from mom and dad, and get my own house. I thought that the idea of that would be kind of fun. But then when you get your own house, then you have payments that come with it. And unless mom and dad just spoils you and wants to make you a moron when you grow up, they take care of everything for you. Why you want to be a rebellious moron and want to live in all your sins that you live in, they'll just take care of you while you're living in your sin. But I thought it would be fun. And then I had all these bills that I had to pay. And I was like, oh. It'd be a whole lot better and easier living with mom and dad.
Yeah.
So I'll live with them half the time.
That's right.
Until I get sick of them.
I'm going to send y'all half my bills.
But a lot of times we think we know a lot. Anyways, I don't know why I said all that. But verse 14, he said, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And that's what the Spirit of promise is. It is the earnest of our inheritance. It is, he's given it to us now, but ladies and gentlemen, there's something down the road that we're going to receive. Something down the road we're going to get. If you have that Spirit, your best life isn't going to be now. I know Joel Osteen wrote his little book, Your Best Life Now, because he's laying up his treasures in this earth. That's where their heart is.
Right.
Their heart's not in heaven. He wants to lay up treasures in this earth. That's why he does that. I mean, most people don't understand. These guys, when they run for president, they don't really want to win. Most of them. What they want to do is they want to run for president. What they can do is they can write a book that matters absolutely nothing. Doesn't have any real significant value to what they write. They'll write it. And they'll put it on the bookshelves at Walmart. John Kasich, he wrote a book sitting on the bookshelves at Walmart. And all those books that he's writing, he's selling them on Amazon, selling them at Walmart, selling them in the bookstores, everything else. They'll make millions of dollars. Mike Huckabee, that's what he does. He's probably had no chance of ever winning, but he's wrote a bunch of books. He wrote, what is it? Grits, Guns, and God. Remember, he ran for president. Grits, Guns, and God.
Rock and roll.
And, yeah, right. Grits, Guns, and God. You know, wrote his little book. You have all these people. They make $20 off of a book. It costs them a couple of dollars to print it. If they sell a million books, how much money do they make? You wonder why they do what they do. And it makes a whole lot more money running for president than actually holding a job. But that's what a lot of these religious people do, too.
Yes, sir.
Think Joel Osteen, he's in every Walmart. He's got five books in every Walmart. Why is he? Because he's laying up his treasures on this earth. He's making millions of dollars telling people absolute lies because people love it. People love hearing about how well they have it together and how they can have something, that how they can be rich, how they can be wealthy. People love to hear that stuff. Those promises are going to pass away. Those things, those earthly things are going to pass away. But there is an inheritance, ladies and gentlemen, that is of God. That's the thing that a church should rather be focused on, somebody's spiritual condition rather than their carnal needs. And we have the Spirit of promise that's the earnest of our inheritance until we're called up after it. We receive all those blessings from the Lord. And in 1 Kings 21, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. But you'll find that the king, he put a seal on a letter, on papers that he sent out. And that seal declared that that was his. Came from him. It was going to be delivered to a specific address. They would send some messenger to send it out. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever God took us, he put his seal on us. He put the Spirit of God put on us. A destination is God the Father and the Holy City in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And it don't matter how many devils might try to think that they can take our salvation away from us. Don't matter how many false prophets come by. Don't matter how many preachers come by. And don't matter what the devil tries to do. He'll never, ever take us out of the hand of Almighty God. We shall. If you're saved, you shall. Go into that city one of these days. You will. And that is the earnest of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, we pray that you give us a better understanding of the Word of God. Help me to be a student of the Word of God. Help me not to be so lazy. God, help me not to be so carnal. Help me not.